WOZQ Smith College in Northampton, Massachusetts. Production assistant came from Sarah, and Sprouts is distributed and coordinated by the Pacifica Radio Network. Thanks to Michael Yoshida at the Satellite Operations. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, this week's host and Sprouts Air Traffic Controller. See you next week.
And coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Today's July 7th, 2005, and I hope you'll stay with me. This is Free Radio, 101.1 FM and www.freakradio.org. And that's Guido Serpentino, of course, one of my favorite openings. And that's, of course, a song about downtown. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, and you're listening to Free Radio 101.1 and www.freakradio.org. You can also go on the chat room if you want to get involved and you can't get on through the telephone line, which I'm going to tell you how to do in just a moment. Chat room is easy to do. It's, if you got a computer, that is, pagesincolor.com, and click on chat and start chatting. And I'm going to really make an effort to keep an ear and an eye on what's happening, at least an eye visually on the chat room. If you want to put your ear to the telephone, you can get in touch with the Free Radio by calling 427-3772, 427-FRSC. And, hey, that's the way to get on to the air here at Free Radio, uncensored, unrehearsed, unapologetic, hopefully not unconscious, but, hey, we get more conscious by getting the benefit of your phone calls here at the station, 427-3772. And I'm kind of planning a variety of things today. The main feature of today's show is going to be I hope it doesn't turn out to be too long a recording or a playing of the conversation that Councilmember Tony Madrigal had with the Human Rights Organization about a week and a half ago at the Sin Fronteras Cafe on the issue of the sleeping ban. And the Human Rights Organization is a group, works with civil rights for homeless and poor people. You've heard them talking on the air before. They've been to the Homeless Services Center trying to get their support for ending the sleeping ban and supporting the potential sleeping ban lawsuit that's we've been talking about for quite a while, which would attempt to do what was done in Florida, more like the under the Pottinger decision, where sleeping and other life-sustaining behaviors become essentially immune from harassment, at least in terms of those behaviors themselves, unless some other criminal behavior is taking place. We're talking about sleeping, camping, public urination and defecation, other things that are essential to sustaining life, hence life-sustaining behaviors or life-sustaining misdemeanors, because in most cases, if you're poor and you don't have the facilities to do these things, such activities are misdemeanors. Santa Cruz is one of those great enlightened locales where it is, in fact, a crime to sleep after 11 o'clock at night, anywhere between 11 and 8:30 in the morning, thanks to the Rotkin Municipal Code, the sleeping ban. It is illegal to sleep or to cover up with blankets on any, and I underline any, public property. And this is a continual subject, a sore point for a lot of us, a continual point of focus for human rights pressure on the city council, and a main focus of the Human Rights Organization, along with the downtown ordinances that criminalize other behaviors in public space, such as sitting or peacefully spare changing or politically organizing or performing. It either regulates them to death or it criminalizes them or gives the police such a broad swath of power that they are given the kind of discretion that allows them to selectively target people based upon their class or their color or their age or whether the cop doesn't like them, that sort of thing, which shouldn't be the way we proceed in any community, and particularly not in a liberal community like Santa Cruz. That's been my view for a decade and a half, and I've been putting it out on the radio for a decade, and I'll continue to do that. Again, so Tony Madrigal is a council member who, early on in his campaign last year for election, said that he would be open to ending the sleeping ban. And he repeated that at least twice, I believe, at various city council election forums. And then we didn't hear a peep from him since that time until you'll hear this conversation. You'll get to make your own judgment as to where Tony now stands, sits, lies, or whatever he does on the issue of the sleeping ban. And you can make up your own conclusions. I've been criticized by being too harsh with Tony Madrigal. I've had a number of his critics on. Tony's been invited on the air repeatedly, but he's chosen not to do so. He was informed that the show is on, and he's welcome to come into the studio. He's been to the studio. He was out front with a bullhorn supporting Free Radio, along with Mayor Scott Kennedy last September, when the station was raided by the FCC, and more power to him for doing that. But, frankly, that's not enough, as far as I'm concerned, if you're on city council and you have the power to influence public policy around issues as basic as a human rights for homeless people, and then you not only do nothing about it, but maintain a complete silence on it for, what, 6, 7, 8 months? Anyway, I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. I'm going to be playing that probably starting around 6:30, talking about that issue. Before I do, I'm going to launch into a little music. Here's a little music from Surreal. Surreal is actually a downtown homeless pianist. He's also known as Ernie. You may have seen him or heard him play downtown. I've actually had him interviewed on the air a number of times. Hey, here's a little of his stuff while I check out my notes and get ready for the next segment, as they say in Radioland. So stay with me. And that plunkety plunk again was by Ernie. He's actually, like many people are doing these days, I believe he displays and sells his CD sometimes downtown. You can find folks doing that a lot on the sidewalk. And I know people have been hassled for doing that in the past. Indeed, there was a famous case by musician Mike True, who's actually one of the formers of SAFE, Society for Artistic Freedom and Expression, the Wednesday night street performers group. Mike has gone east to New Orleans. I think he's recovering from an operation somewhere in Ohio, I believe. Maybe I got that. Maybe I'm sure if I have the state wrong. But he did a lawsuit, which I've talked about on the air before. He was assaulted by Sergeant Baker for displaying his CDs, his own musical artwork, on the sidewalk for donation, not even for sale. And he won a lawsuit where he got, I don't know, is it $10,000-$15,000 from the city? Didn't get a clear ruling from a court, but I think there may be an understanding, although police are prone to misunderstand, particularly when the laws are so unclear or even hostile to the civil rights of people locally, that it's okay to display your music, your artwork, on the sidewalk. In New York City, as you may have heard by listening to this show, if all you regular listeners, we've had Robert Letterman on talking about how it's legal to do that for sale, period. You don't need a permit to do it. Here, you certainly can do it for donation, but again, you know, who knows? And I'd like to, whether you're going to get hassled or not, and I'm seeing more of it happening. As I walked to the SAFE event number 75 last night, 75 weeks of SAFE events, also called the Street Performers Against Foolish Enforcement. Nice acronym. I saw a number of musicians, trios, solos, actually three different groups of people, and I believe at least two of them were displaying their CDs. So it can be done, it is done, and hopefully more of that will be available without rants and raves from the merchants, or at least no enforcement activity from the police, whatever the merchants' concerns are. And frankly, I don't see I think it's more of a draw than a drawback for even for local businesses in Santa Cruz. And it's pretty petty to go after people who are poor, who put their own CDs out on the sidewalk. And if they're selling T-shirts with, you know, McDonald's logos on them or something, that's one thing. If they're selling their own stuff and it's their own artwork, it seems to me that's something quite different. If you want to call in to Free Radio, if you have any thoughts on any of the subjects you've heard now or subjects you want to bring up, again, the call-in number is 427-3772. And the pagesincolor.com chat room is at pagesincolor.com if you'd like to call in on that. I'm going to run through a few street interviews now right before we begin the Tony Madrigal interview, or I should say discussion, with the human rights organization a week and a half ago. And there may be a guest coming into the studio. I understand Linda LeMaster may be heading this way to talk about some issues, and maybe she'll get here soon. Maybe we'll begin that conversation. Well, I'm not. It's hard to tell. Can't tell what's going on yet, but I will keep you advised.
I was at San Lorenzo Park this morning with a friend of mine, and he had a couple of beers in his backpack. But from what I understand of the law, if your backpack's closed, you can't go into it as an officer without a warrant. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
I would think so, unless there's suspicion that unless you're being detained for suspicion of a crime. Is there a reasonable suspicion?
No, we were sitting there, I was playing guitar. We were just playing music.
Who was the officer who insisted on going into the backpack?
I don't know, some big, overweight, blonde-headed guy. I don't know his name.
What time was it?
He hit my friend in the head with a billy club because my friend wouldn't let him have his backpack, so he hit him.
And was he alone when the police officer did this, or was anybody else with him?
No, the officer was by himself, yeah.
Did the officer say anything?
Well, he smacked him around pretty good and took him to jail.
And when was this?
This morning.
About what time?
Oh, maybe 9.
Later than that, Mike just left me. Me and Mike left me going to the park. And it was
before the music started.
It was about 11 o'clock.
What's your name?
My name is Mike.
Mike, were you a witness to any of this?
No, I did not see this. I just now heard this.
I see.
Yes, sir.
But you were a witness.
I was a witness, and my name's Ted Fleming.
Also known as?
Pear.
Hey, and you have a guitar in hand just in case someone wants to mess with you.
He's been known as Master. My God.
You know Ewing. You know Ewing?
Yeah. Did you see any of this happen? Or?
No, I didn't see it, but I'll tell you what. If this guy said it happened, it's the truth, because I've known him for years.
right. And he said there was other witnesses, too.
So, any of the other witnesses by name that you know of?
Not by name, but friends that I have, acquaintances that I have over at the park.
How many people witnessed this?
Oh, there was five or six of us there, besides the guy getting hit.
How much of it did you see, from beginning to end, or the middle? Or?
All of it.
Give me an idea. Was the victim's name was?
Mike.
And we don't know the name of the officer, but it was a white, chunky officer?
Yeah, tall, blonde-haired guy.
Dark blue?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kind of plump.
Yeah.
And do you remember any of the dialogue?
Well, Mike told him, you're not taking my backpack, and you're not getting into it. And he insisted on it, and Mike grabbed his backpack, and a cop grabbed it from him, and pulled it open right there, and there was a couple beers he had in there from yesterday or whatever, and fell out.
Beers or?
A couple cans of beer, yeah. But it was his personal belongings, I don't know. I mean, where is our Constitution at, brother?
Lost somewhere in the mist. Thank you, Bill.
God bless you.
Talking with the balloony guy with the balloons and the black hat outside Rosie McCann. Sir, what's happening here?
Well, with my dragon being somewhat stressed out, and I asked the downtown host today if I committed suicide here, but, you know, who would clean it up? And he said, well, he said it'd probably just flow down to the river. That's what he said.
Well, maybe you're giving them some useful suggestions in this situation.
No, no, no. Kind of, I'm noticing a lack of children in the downtown area because they don't have enough for kids down here. They need to get more. They went down near the boardwalk. They got millions of kids and families, tourists. They need to get, like, some kind of, even kind of phony kind of, like, I don't know if it's a phony, but just something more kid-like, an arcade, you know, something they could come here and play on, even a little park, you know, a little kiddie park or something. And
well, I see you have a suitcase full of crayons, and there's a pinwheel.
Obviously, I'm immature, yeah. I'm still.
You have a bunch of balloon figures that you're enticing the young with. Are you some kind of a public pedophile?
Oh, no, no. I'm only doing this till I grow up, you know. This is just what I do till I finally find a... Find my own adult.
Find yourself eventually.
Yeah, since it's the John Wayne Gacy story, the evil clown guy back in the 70s, they pretty much ruined the clown image. Oh, I heard some evil. Well,
we'll talk about this later.
I just heard some evil.
Okay, so they being arrested outside.
No,
you
have a bathroom on it. There's no bathroom number on it. But it's lined up.
So I'd like to get her for shoplifting too with these today again.
That's shoplifting funny. A soda and a box of cookies.
And what you're listening to here, and I apologize for the rather shoddy tape quality, it's extremely slow speed, but hey, there we go, your high-tech man at work. This is an arrest in front of New Leaf Market of a woman who shoplifted, I think, an item of food, I'm not sure exactly what it was, who seemed a little disoriented, and she was fingered by the New Leaf security person who was kind of in plain clothes and then arrested by several officers and taken to the vehicle. And you can kind of hear that sort of with the drum in the background. Actually, it's kind of inaudible, but you'll be able to hear some interviews about it in a moment.
That's not your badge, your badge. You can fuck out of my store.
It's it's the woman being arrested who says, get the fuck out of my store. She's, she apparently believes it's her store. She's asserting it's her store.
To the squad car, and we have three police officers. I was just pulled up at the crosswalk here near Alfresco's. She's handcuffed. She's being put in the back of the car by two police officers. I think it's Officer Bradley is driving the vehicle. And they're going to go around the back of New Leaf Market to, I guess, effect the citizen's arrest. And they're driving. Any comments for Free Radio?
Yeah, I'm Greek, and that's my store.
The witness to that arrest, your name, sir?
Eliyahu, just Eliyahu.
Figure it out. All right, so Eliyahu, what did you see happen?
I just saw her come out of New Leaf, and she had some stuff in her hand, something to drink and something to eat. And then she was telling the security from New Leaf that this was her store, and that's why she just didn't pay for what she. And then the police officer, and she was asking them if they wanted to see their badge, and but they showed them, and she said it wasn't a badge, and so she was arrested for shoplifting. Because I think they were to let her go and told her not to come back inside the store. But she was kind of delirious and seemed like she was having a bipolar episode of delusions of grandeur, thinking that this was her store, and so she was arrested, which it seemed like they would have probably let her go if she just would have cooperated.
Well, arrest Bush for delusions of grandeur, is that likely to happen?
Yes, he is definitely a bad apple. We need to get him out of there. You know what, can you just picture one of those Syrian turbans or from Saudi Arabia on his head? Because he looks like he actually is from there, and it's all about money, and it's all, it's, you know, he's very much a destruction for this planet. And
again, we've been talking with
Eliyahu.
Thank you, Eliyahu.
Okay.
Another witness we're talking to.
Bibi, I saw what happened.
You see it nearby in the area between the two cafes.
And the police handled it very nicely. I figured when she was out here doing whatever she was doing, kind of like trying to get attention, so she went in there and saw everybody was eating, went in and got what she wanted and came back out, I guess, without paying.
Do you know her?
No, I never seen her before. I imagine she's from up in the shelter.
And we've been talking with
Robert Norton.
That's me. But what's your name, sweetheart? For our records.
Bibi.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, it's about 5:30 here at New Leaf, or in front of New Leaf, and we're talking with
Stanley.
Stanley, you say that the police got very fond of your musical instrument.
Yeah, they came out to a place where Spark Community Center where we all were gathered at, and I had stuff stored there. They took two guitars, an old keyboard thing that I had there, a video camera that didn't work, and then they took all my art supplies, like tubes of acrylic color, my palette knives, blah, blah, blah. Everything that seemed to be of value.
And where was this?
This is a railroad track property behind Mission Extension between Swift and Natural Bridges.
On private property or public property?
It's private property. It's river track property it was on. The guy that has the big building there in front of it on Mission Extension, he was going to have a party. I think it's Saturday. He had a live band out there and alcohol, what have you. And so I think he just didn't want any of his party goers looking out across the field and seeing, you know, where us homeless people would be out there. And so he called the police right down on Thursday. When it rained, they came out while it was raining and just took the stuff.
How many of you were out there?
Nobody was out there when they showed up. We just knew that they were out there. Somebody said they were down the street, and so I went down and watched them from a distance, and they stayed in one command vehicle left. They didn't leave any paperwork. They didn't leave anything. And I just you know, basically destroyed the structure that had been built there, but it was on railroad track property. That's what gets me.
How many have been staying there before?
Oh, it could be two people a night to as many as four or five people a night.
And how long had that been for?
4 months, 5 months.
Had you been warned by police or by the owner to leave?
No, the packed up. We lived in a big trailer, a semi-truck trailer that belonged to River Track people, and they came and said we had to clear that. They didn't care, so we just moved into the other structure there that we built up out of the railroad ties. They're like, boom, you know. They left it there all winter for the purpose of us having a dry place to sleep, that old truck trailer that they had. You know, well, back to the guy, this main person that the camp was, they came out one night because of people raising cane out there, and he had a warrant. He went into jail, but they never said anything about, you know, you'll lose all your, you know. Yeah, it's like, you know, it was his property. It was other people's property. And why did they take the quality stuff? Like, you know, my palette knives are expensive tools to me, you know, and what all this kind of stuff.
You're an artist?
Yes. Play music and paint. Play pictures, you know.
How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
No, that's not.
Long time. I was in Lost Boys way back then. But I've been back to.
You're still one of the Lost Boys.
Yeah, but you can say that. Just look at me. But
when did this happen? What day?
It was last Thursday, whatever that was. Thursday.
That's about 3 days ago.
No. It's actually been a week and 3 days, you know.
Thursday. So that's.
Saturday, the guy had his party, you know. That's why I think they were called. He called them.
Contacted the police and asked about the census?
You know what? I've become so disillusioned with them anymore. You can't. It's like if you're homeless and somebody steals from you and you try to report it, they basically kind of laugh at you. It's like trying to report a stolen, unregistered vehicle or something. It's like one time before with a music equipment problem, I just got so disheartened because every time I would get passed on to the next person, I'd have to explain it in fully to each one of them to the point where I was like, God, don't you understand? I mean, didn't somebody tip you off a little bit beforehand? What was going on here? But anyway, I don't know. Enough said about that. But what I want to do is it's amazing. I've talked to some people that just didn't believe that happened. And then after they hear a little bit about it, they're like, no, really? They get that? You know, it's like I'm down to a couple months getting off of a long probation stint. And in the last little while here, I've had people approach me wanting to buy drugs that I don't know. I've had people approach me wanting to sell drugs that I don't know. I've had people want to give me drugs that I don't know. It's like, I feel like they know exactly where I'm at. I feel like I'm on a Code 6 or something, like under surveillance. I kind of feel that. It's like, golly, don't they have, I mean, what's the deal? Yeah.
You're a man with dreads. You have a somewhat informal appearance, though clean. You're an older guy, kind of my generation. You don't look like you're terribly rich. So get out of town, big boy.
Yeah, I reckon so. I think I'm richer than most people because it's a wealth thing. It's not where you're rich at, you know. A fellow told me once that most people come from old money. They don't even know what money is really all about. Said, you're a successful man when you squandered several fortunes.
And there you have it. Wisdom from a man who just lost his latest possessions, his artwork, supplies, and his guitars. Compliments of you. You're pretty sure it was the police because you saw them take it.
Oh, yeah. We stayed to watch the command vehicle left and put all it out. What I want to do is I haven't even talked to them about it, really. I don't have something like 60 days to take your gear, but I would like to find somebody legally to talk to that might can help me with this that might be on my side. Because I'm at a loss when it comes to dealing with them, you know?
What a dreamer.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's got to be somebody that would, say, hey, what's this all about? Is this, you know, because they separate you into individuals and you just get swept aside. You know, but, you know, the general public doesn't hear the story, the humanistic side of things that go on.
Except in this case, when the public will hear the story. If any attorneys out there want to help Stanley, please give a call. Leave your number at 423-4833.
I do have a little bit of money every now and then, you know.
Right.
And so for some things, I could throw down some money for this help. But I'd like to just get it kind of aired up, you know, about things that will happen to you.
Do you have a number that you want to leave? Or?
No, I don't really have a good...
423-HUFF is the number to leave, and I will try to convey the information to Stanley when I next see him. Anything more, Stanley?
I want to get with you on your radio show sometime.
This is going to be on the radio.
Okay. Okay. Many years ago, I was in there one time in your radio thing.
Remember? I do.
Yeah.
I do.
That's pretty good.
What did you talk about?
This was a situation where they were moving us away from the back 40 out to the parks, you know, with the dog. You know, with the dog.
Yeah, I remember Stanley.
The big Christmas thing and what all.
1996.
Yeah. In fact, I think one time there, I actually played guitar down here on the mall with the mayor at the time.
Mayor Mike Rotten? I mean, Rotkin?
I believe that's who it was way, way back then. Yeah.
Mayor Mike, get him out of town, Rotkin. I remember him.
Yeah.
That's his mayor again.
We got an argument about the sleeping bag thing about it. If you got a sleeping bag, you're down here about 4 o'clock in the morning, you're liable to get messed with.
No, come on.
Yeah. But he says at least it's a place where you can come and play the guitar.
Any mayor can play the guitar in downtown Santa Cruz. I think we should feel much happier because if your guitar hasn't been confiscated by the police, that is.
Yeah, I reckon they just think that we can't have things like that. It's just, you know, what do you love? I can be out in the middle of the desert and I'm going to have a guitar and a backpack full of paint, you know? That's what I think is important in the world. So, like, some culture or something. I mean, you know, we got to have something to be proud of after all. It seems like the music generation or whatever started a lot of this. Is, you know, I think about good things. Some blues, but that, you know, that's what happens to your life, but I like the happy things and the love stories and the pretty stuff, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know? Yep.
Thanks, Stanley.
Thank you.
And that was Stanley from, probably about a couple weeks back, an old-time trooper from the River Street Refugees. And here's another old-time trooper. She's made it into the studio. Say something. See if your mic is working.
Something, Mike.
Say something else.
It's nice to be called an old-time trooper, although the old part kind of gets to me.
That's, of course, you are Linda LeMaster. You've been working on commissions as varied as the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women. You chaired the Homeless Issues Task Force back in 1999, 2000. And I guess today you're here as a member of HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom.
Yes, I'm bringing a message from HUF, but I'd like to add to your intro. As far as it goes, that was nice, but I certainly don't consider my commissional or formal structure of community work the most important. For example, I used to be a programmer at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, wow.
And I...
you check your membership credentials lately?
You didn't need credentials the last time I had a check. everybody knew each other and worked together. And I was around when the Free Radio formed initially because I... helped work on getting the medical marijuana law passed. Those are the kind of things I do, more grassroots than commissional.
You also work, I guess, for Housing Now in Santa Cruz. That's another...
Oh, yeah, thank you for the plug. Housing Now in Santa Cruz is a project set up just to be homeless people volunteers friendly. So how much we do from one year to the next really ebbs and flows according to if people who live on the street, from whom we get our direction and most of our volunteer energy, how things are going for them affects.
You also guided kind of a long-term nonprofit called the, I guess at one point it was called Welfare Mothers Support Group, and then it'd be called Welfare Parents Support Group, and then it became We Listen. And
yeah, that stands for Welfare Low Income Support Network.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, it was basically one organization, but it had different qualities and characteristics, thus the different names.
But I guess you had some experience dealing with people meeting regularly, organizationally, trying to work things out when there were disputes, things of that sort.
Tell me about it. It was the most heartbreaking and most fun, and for my life, the most long-term grassroots organizing I've done. And we turned what was meant to be a networking group of women who were dealing with being new to desperation and poverty into a corporation, and we spun off a lot of other community projects like Housing Now in Santa Cruz from the organizing of all these women. And most of the years of its existence that I was involved, it was without any formal money, not even dues, and that alone is an accomplishment for an organization.
You're also currently a member of the Green Party.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if there's any Green voters listening, I'm one of your county council representatives, one of the few who was elected. Last time we didn't get to be on the ballot for a lot of technical reasons, which hints at why I prefer to work grassroots and know my community. But anyway, call me at home, 423 home, 423-4663. If you want to talk green stuff, because we really need to talk it up. I'm working with some other people to reprise the homeless issues working group of the local chapter of the Green Party. And they meet, by the way, on the third Monday of every week, of every month. I'm sorry.
At what time and what place?
Meet at 7 p.m., and we've been meeting at Loudoun Nelson Center most of the time, but we have a plan for the rest of the coming year for every third meeting to be somewhere else in the community, perhaps with some special issue or featured entertainment.
So this is the homeless working group or whatever of the Green Party.
No, what I was just talking about on the third Wednesday is the
third
local
Monday. Third Monday?
I'm sorry, third Monday.
Uh-huh.
That's the local chapter meeting as a general assembly, which is a pretty democratic structure when it works.
Ah, so this is just the Green Party meeting as it happens on a variety of topics.
Yeah, I don't always make it. You know, besides hoping to bring the homeless issues working group back, there's a San Lorenzo Valley chapter, and there's a woman here in our county who's very active in the International Greens. So call me if you don't have a website and look up Santa Cruz Green Party on your, what is it, on the web.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a techie here.
Yeah, a 423 home, right, is your number to be reached.
Yeah, and that's a O, not a zero.
Uh-huh. H-O-M-E, 423 home.
Thank you, Robert.
Yeah, I know. We could talk about the Green Party, and I think I was castigating.
Oh, I came prepared in case you brought it up, because
you
are a great provocateur.
Well, I don't know. You mean a government agent who attempts to destroy organizations from within?
Well, that's not my definition, but I've heard it hurled at you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't had much to do with the Green Party lately, but I guess you brought something else with you. It's a resolution from HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. Is that what you wanted to talk about?
Yes. And to add more to the introduction, I've been a longtime participant with HUF, except when I disagree with what they do. And then I become a supporter, which I think has everyone in town confused. But, hey, call me up and ask me what the problem is when it's happening.
Well, I should actually have you give your critique of various HUF activities. And HUF, by the way, is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. I always give it plugs right and left and invite people to the meetings, which are Wednesdays, 8:30 in the morning at the county building in the basement of the so-called American Cafe, the cafeteria in the county building. And it runs till about 10:30. And I've put the notice up again on Indie Media. It kind of disappeared for a while there. But we are, in fact, still meeting. And I encourage people, if they're interested, to come. We met yesterday, even. And that happens. So what's cooking, Linda?
Well, I want to start with saying that one thing I like about HUF as a grassroots group is that it's actually friendly to homeless people. And, you know, if you're trying to think that we're all alike, we are all human, but a lot of the homeless people I knew know, I still know them, the ones who have survived, they have to live one day at a time at best. They don't get to plan ahead, so it's a very special thing to have a meeting place where they can convene and show up in whatever state they're in.
If they don't have any warrants in the county building, of course.
The ideal spot. I don't like it.
We're thinking of moving our meeting, actually, to another place. If anybody is a regular attendee and wants to weigh in on that, please give a call. And if you have any questions about HUF and you're interested in it, you can call 423-HUF, 423-4833. You can go to the HUF website, huffsantacruz.org, huffsantacruz.org, where, by the way, these shows, this Bathrobes Piers Broadside show, the show you hear tonight, is archived. You can actually go back and hold us accountable for what we say here. No accounts that we are.
These shows.
Yeah, these shows. You can actually you can download them.
So you
or
go to the
HUF
website to hear this radio show.
You got to have access to the internet, not to hear the radio show. To hear the radio show, you can hear on the radio, but to download it later and hear it, you know, or back shows, you have to have access to the website.
So last week I missed the HUF meeting. I made it this week because it's at 8:30. But what the people who were there last week talked about and then ultimately passed a resolution, which I want to share with the larger community. So thank you, Robert, for inviting me on. And I'm going to pass the resolution without an explanation because I know Robert's going to make me talk about it afterwards, so we'll save the details for then. So here it goes. While we respect the right of individual organizations to establish their own criteria for membership, We are opposed to all policies which silence the ability of our members to speak on our mission. We believe such a proposal is misguided and based on a set of assumptions that are unsubstantiated. We ask that membership criteria be explicitly defined and that any process for applying these criteria be done objectively, consistently, and transparently. And then a separate unanimous resolution follows. We ask that Becky Johnson be given a fair hearing where she will be allowed to be present with adequate notice, where a quorum of Free Radio Santa Cruz members be also present. So it was actually two resolutions.
Huh. Well, what's this all about? I mean, I mentioned it briefly on the show last time, but without betraying anybody's confidentiality, I don't think you can, because you all.
I think it's too late.
Right. Well, no. I mean, there's no confidentiality here. I, as a member of the Free Radio Collective, I'm aware that there's a move afoot to essentially to declare Becky is not a member of Free Radio, and also that she is. Some people want to go further than that and have her excluded and banned. And I think that in this issue came up at the last collective meeting. It's been put off for a couple of weeks to give people a chance to think about it and maybe bring more information. But what's this all about from your perspective? I mean, let's put it this way. What business is it of the communities to talk about this here? What's the point of that?
Well, maybe it's not the business of the community, but the community is a good reflecting tool if you care about community. I mean, I talk to some people who think that doesn't exist anymore in the United States. It requires culture and other elements like genuine free speech. But given that we're using the word the way most people use it, I don't know to what extent, because I don't know the policies and rules these days, that this is an issue for the larger community we live in. But as a proponent of free speech, it concerns me if people are banning a person, and if this banning or even just shunning, any form of ostracizing, is based on something that could be resolved, then that taking that action to close yourself off to someone isn't right in general, and it doesn't work. It hurts you organizationally and in spirit. And if this is what's happening with my friend Becky Johnson, I wanted to put out a couple sentences on her behalf. Because Becky's a person that, like, I trust her with my own kids, even on days I don't trust myself to care for them.
We have a caller. Let's see what's cooking here. Are you finished? Or do you want to?
That's an okay place to stop.
Okay.
We all need more background, though, clarity.
Hey, caller, you're on the air with Robert and Linda. Go ahead.
Well, I have so many thoughts to share, but I'll just try to keep it brief. And I just happened to catch a little bit of the discussion about banning Becky Johnson, and not to give her any more attention on this issue than it needs, but
yes.
I feel, firstly, I think, Robert, it's completely not appropriate for you to be addressing this issue at this time on your radio program. First, from my understanding of what's been discussed, nothing has been explicitly even acted upon yet, you know, and so.
Well, that's a good thing, right?
And before you start interrupting me, I want to say, just in terms of, you know, Linda, you were just saying that you don't want to see any harm come to your friend, and I can empathize with that position. And the reason that this is all happening, which is something that often gets overlooked in these discussions on Robert's program, is that Becky Johnson has, in fact, brought harm to my friends and to this community and to programmers that have given their lives, blood, sweat, tears, time, energy, and other, you know, resources to keep going. She has actively harmed people by turning over information to who else, to who knows what. I mean, obviously she's given information, the specific charges or people are upset about is that she's given information to David Horowitz and his Discover the Network website, but that's all we know. We don't know who else she's given information to or what else she's capable of. And the fact that, from what I've been hearing, that she has phone lists of free radio programmers that she doesn't even know, and she's, like, on this campaign calling DJs at their home numbers, I'm sorry, Robert, but I have to hold you complicit in that, because how else would Becky Johnson, who is not and not has not ever been a member of Free Radio Santa Cruz, except to produce Robert's program? And there's nobody even proposing that she stop producing Robert's program. People are just trying to distance themselves from her, and I don't even know, it's like, it's not even an issue, and you're making it an issue.
Well,
and that's all I want to say. I don't even want to get into a debate. I just wanted to be able to express myself on the air. Thank you.
Vinny, before you go.
I got to go. I'm going to go. I don't even really want to.
Well, I just want to make sure you don't feel cut off. That's all.
No, I don't.
Okay. Good enough. Yeah. Linda, your
thought? I agree with most of what Vinny just said. There's other people besides Becky involved, and she's the person that I know and the only person whose perspective I've really heard all the way out on this thing. And, you know, whether I know the person from my own life or not, I would hold the same standard to anybody involved. And that means each individual real person in the radio collective as well as the entity as a whole, because I believe organizations have a life of their own, which is the shared energy you pour into it. That's alive. So I've learned mostly the hard way by mistakes I've made that you have to be very careful. And my hunch is with this situation, which, as Vinny pointed out, we know very little about the whole thing, and that's probably appropriate. The only way you can really resolve something like that without having an injured party at the end of it, even if you take on formal, like structured mediations or something, is to separate out each little part of it. And in the way that you were hoping Vinny got to say all that he wanted to say when he called in, the process has to allow the time and energy and space and mutual self-caring so that everybody involved can sort it out. Because they're not going to have the same understanding even when they're using exactly the same words after there's already a conflict. We are all, as humans, and maybe other mammals too for all I know, but we're all defensive when threatened, and that's healthy. That's when what your adrenal cortex is for. And so we can't be expected to have the best judgment when we're under attack. And I'm not saying that on behalf of any person involved in this. I'm saying it because in my background and the things I've done in this community and back east near Washington, D.C., I've seen it so many times in so many different kinds of organizations, even people that all lived in the same house together, it happens to, that I want to say, be careful, and if there's any way I can afford some caring so that the process doesn't get truncated or derailed through people's apprehensions and tensions, I offer it. I doubt if I can help, but I sure would want to, and I offer it.
Well, I know that some people have suggested mediation, and others have been skeptical as to whether it's a worthwhile process.
Well, but the people primarily involved have to sort through that, and it takes a whole lot of dialogue to even figure out if it's appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to figure out what form it would take and how to go about it so no one feels unsafe and so everyone feels it was fair, even if they didn't come out of it with what they want. In my experience, which involves pure consensus, well, as pure as people's can do, it can take days to resolve one problem, or you have to come back a few times to resolve it. But nobody goes home mad or hurt or feeling ostracized.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Matt.
I'm sorry.
Matt.
I heard Linda talking about mediation and other people who might have suggested it. Linda, who would you suggest that Becky mediate with?
Well, I wasn't thinking of just Becky or any group. What I had heard is there's some conflict going on within Free Radio Santa Cruz. And what I've guessed, because I used to be I had a program for over a year, is that it means it's going to be hard for everyone, because everyone's got to sit down basically in the same, I want to say, room. Maybe there's some virtual other way to do it, but I've never heard of it or seen it, together at the same time, and lay out what to do to make it safe and make everybody feel like it's going to work if they talk to each other.
But it's
not easy, I know. That's why I'm in here tonight, is because I've been through that process. And I just want to encourage all of you as a collective to be as inclusive as you can.
But who would you suggest that we mediate with? Becky's not a member of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, is that? I don't know that. See, I don't know if she's a member or not. I sure would have thought she was a member because, I mean, she's been the mother to the station at times. But
well,
I'm not privy to what that particularly means and how what that word member came to mean what it does. I don't know. You can tell me.
Other groups and individuals have hosted the radio at other times. It didn't make them a member of the group. And so that's no different for her either.
I guess what I'm saying, Matt, is that it sounds to me like you're trying to be fair and, like, logical or rational. You have to step back to something even more primal and then come in once everybody's on the same base, let's say, and use the linguistic process you're using to help make sure everybody begins, whatever that is defined as in your collective, begins at the same place, same page, people say. So, see, I don't see it as Becky versus Free Radio Santa Cruz, and I infer from what you said that either you do or I'm supposed to, or that would be the common way of thinking of it. I see it as that people are feeling there's a breach or a flaw in the organism of the organization, of your collective, and that means you have to deal with it. You know, and if you're collective, that means everybody has to deal with it, not a few people.
No, only the members of the collective have to deal with it.
However, that's defined. But isn't membership one of the issues of concern that's causing this conflict?
Well, there's one person who is a member who thinks that Becky is a member, and at least in the previous meeting we had, there were no other people who felt that way.
So, now, this is a total guess. I'm not going to try to think anything about who that might be or anything.
Later
I'll think about it. I think better when I'm not on the air, to the joy of other people. But anyway, what I want to ask you is, I don't know how many people that are the other. There's one versus unknown. There's at least five of you?
Are there what?
Let's say active members. Are there at least five of you? Say there's a number of other people besides
there are many active members in Free Radio.
Okay. Like, say there's a dozen and half of them go to meetings. I don't know if that's true or not. Is that one person who has a different view than the other half a dozen? Is that view based on feeling or intellectual content, if it can be divided that way?
I can't speak for that person.
Okay. I was hoping
you'd speak for himself very effectively.
Oh, okay. That gives me another big clue. Let me just put this out as a hypothesis. You know, if the person's coming from their feelings, there's no way you can really mend that breach by sitting down and waiting until you're ready to hug each other, you know, because your feelings are going to be true to who you are individually, no matter what other associations you have. But if there's an ideological thing happening where one person is interpreting a concept differently from six other people, then whether or not you resolve whatever conflict you're feeling, you need to step back one step and get a working definition of member that can't be ambiguous. When you go to these more hierarchical or structured organizations, that they use this phrase, the appearance of whatever, you know?
Well,
we can't even have the appearance of a conflict of interest or the appearance of nepotism, you know? That's a very high standard when you try to apply it in practice.
Well, we have a lot less to worry about in terms of conflicts of interest than nepotism since there are no...
Yeah, I was trying to pick examples that wouldn't work, that wouldn't be part of a collective to show that.
I think the simple way to look at it, and like, I mean, I don't know quite why we're having the discussion as to whether or not she's a member. Like, ultimately, I don't think it matters.
Mm. Well, my guess is it matters to her, and I don't know what else is going on. I don't want to second guess anybody in this, but
I'll speak for myself.
If you can get to where you can talk to each other.
We don't want to talk to each other.
Well, then you don't want to resolve this, probably.
No, I don't.
Yeah, but see, you just switched in two sentences from we to I, which
I can't speak for everybody on certain issues. I can only speak for myself as an individual. I wouldn't want to put words into the mouth of other members of the collective or to.
No, but that's the point I'm trying to make. If the collective has shared decisions that they've come to as a collective or whatever process they use, they've come together on it, then they need to be unambiguous, so everybody that's involved has the same, you know, 99% the same concept. And you have an ideological problem if you can't get to that point, so you need to reframe. Sometimes people need to start at the very beginning of doing the rule over. I worked on some statewide organizations who need to keep their bylaws current, and some of them are, one of these organizations is flaky, and so you might say every time they meet, there's a whole bouquet of new bylaws they have to iron out, because either factionalism stopped them from working, or the organization has outgrown them. And so there's no such thing as like a static bylaws. Of course, in reality, these things are living anyway. Even the groups that try to put them on a book, they stay alive if people apply them.
Matt.
Yes.
I want to give you a chance to speak, too. I you know, I'm really appreciating what Linda's saying, but I want to make sure you feel you have an opportunity to get your thoughts.
Well, I'm just not really quite clear as to what the, like, we keep talking, this issue of mediation comes up, and I'm not sure what goal we're trying to achieve. Is it to resolve whether or not Becky is a member of the group? I mean, there was no, like, misunderstanding among folks other than one person who took a different position as to whether she was or not. I mean, people who were not involved in this were rather surprised at the suggestion that she might be a member. They were totally confounded by that idea. And she's...
Huh. Are these people that have been around for a while?
Long enough that their surprise was telling.
Because I was real surprised that people would think she wasn't, but then again, I still don't know what member particularly means for you.
What would you base that upon?
Well, because she's been such an active participant in building the station, in covering for it in times of crisis, like two FCC raids that I know of, that you know, I was peripherally involved with. I was a programmer during one of them. Because even this, a year and a half ago, she put the radio station in her backyard, and she's a renter with children in this town. She had her kids yanked and blackballed by landlords if the wrong person had wanted to screw around with you guys. She'd have been the one holding the bag. Those kind of things make me think that investment must come with membership, but I'm not assuming. I don't know.
But it doesn't. Hosting the station is a fine thing to do, and we're glad. You know, we're grateful for anyone who does it, but it doesn't make that person or entity a member of the collective.
Yeah, but
it doesn't mean that person or group that hosts the station can come to the meeting and vote on decisions or block them or have the combination to the studio so that they could come in. That it doesn't mean that. And
I
the fact
that
this is an individual rather than a group or something else doesn't change that fact. It just doesn't make them a member. And if somebody produces somebody else's show in the same way that shows that are produced somewhere else have producers, that doesn't make them part of the station. That doesn't make them a member of the collective.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to be a member of the collective, everyone is welcome to apply to become part of the collective. And it's not a secret what that process is, especially if you know people who are members. It's not a secret. It's not complex. It's a pretty straightforward procedure.
Well, that's cool.
And
maybe you should broadcast it now and then.
If people want to get a show on Free Radio Santa Cruz, they can go to the website and download an application. It's easily available.
When I came in here tonight, Matt, I didn't know we were going to be talking about Becky. I had one sentence I wanted to read on her behalf representing a different grassroots group. And I did that. But I really thought you guys would be interested in my experience as a community organizer in general.
I take real issue with other groups that don't have, that where this isn't their issue, suddenly passing resolutions that call on us to do things when I don't feel like they have all of the details and I feel like they have some members who are really biased, like groups like HUF, where Becky is a member. So that doesn't seem quite fair or appropriate.
Can
be making resolutions about Becky deserving a fair hearing when I don't feel like that's really the appropriate venue to be, like, you know, making those statements.
I think I've gotten your point, because sometimes when our Santa Cruz City Council passes these resolutions to save Nicaragua, while they're criminalizing people for having to piss or go to find a place to sleep, stealing their blankets, fucking with them just because they know their identity, you know, and yet they're telling us that we're a nuclear-free zone, you know, but yet we're not even really humanity-free yet. So I think I get the feeling of that point, but on the other hand, you're a radio station. Your whole mission, or I would think the foundation of your mission, is to get people in the community in touch with each other, let people know what's going on, maybe entertain them, but that's not my take of free radio overall, and I listen at a lot of different times.
Linda, doesn't make everybody in the community a member.
No, I have no dispute with you about member, because you know what one is, and I don't, except what you just told me.
The other half that's far more important is that Becky is engaged in actions that we find violative of basic activist culture, that we feel fundamentally, like, appalled by.
Now that I can relate to.
Okay.
That's things not that, just an issue, that's how you run the collective.
Things that, for me, I feel are unforgivable, and I don't ever want to have anything to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
She has admitted to passing on information about members of the collective to David Horowitz, an extreme right, nasty, racist ideologue who has created what I consider a McCarthy-like blacklist of leftists. Now, I think that list that he's created is idiotic, but he'd like it to be something real, and he'd like people to get involved and make it more accurate, I'm sure. And she has been one of the people who has, in fact, done that. And I don't like that regardless of what information she's giving,
mm-hmm.
but particularly when that information is about members of the collective I am in, mm-hmm. that's violative of everything I stand for.
I understand that sense
and
of
she's
violation.
Admitted to that. That's not like I'm
she's
making it up or putting words in her mouth.
She's admitted to what you said about moving information?
To passing on that information and knowing that that information was going to be used to update and clarify that list. And to me, that's appalling. And for myself, I can no longer trust her at all. And I would leave it for other activists in the community to decide whether they should either.
Well, I guess that really concurs with my basic feeling, because I really think when it's a community person working in community, in a sense, whatever their mode of action, she writes and she has a oral voice, those things belong wherever she's planted them, as they do for you if you have a show. You know, what you say there, there's going to be a response in the community if it's relevant, and it could be a hostile response if people aren't ready to hear it or they disagree, you know, either with or without a reason. Like I was saying, sometimes you're led just by strong feelings and convictions, which is different. But
my disagreement isn't about what she believes in, although I do disagree with her on certain issues very strongly.
Mm-hmm.
It's about her actions, not her thoughts.
Okay.
It's about her actions.
I appreciate what you're saying, because you're really pinning down what the issue is for you, and I assume probably to greater and lesser degrees to everyone in the collective. Do you feel that that was her intent at the time, or do you might not know anything one way or the other about that?
I don't think it's fair to me to try to state what she was thinking at the
time. That's wise.
I think it's clear that she knew full well what the information was and what it was going to be used for.
Hmm.
I think she has admitted that she knew absolutely that she was giving this information in order to correct and clarify and thus expand this list.
So,
not like it just happened.
So given that position, which I'm inferring is also your strong conviction too, but given your position about that behavior of this information giving,
yes.
Does that make it, it sounds to me like you don't trust her generally, even though your real issue is about that one kind of behavior and or doing that and however you guys have communicated subsequently on that point. And so what I'm saying is, I mean, this is what happens to most people, but I'm assuming, because I was once a free radio programmer, that you guys aren't like that. But generally, you reject the whole person because of something that's unacceptable in their values or in what they did, in this case as you're describing it, or often in what they say. Are you saying there's nothing else that could be trusted between you, Matt, and Becky?
No, I have no interest in placing any trust in her. I cannot place any trust in her. She has done something that I find violative of the most basic elements of activist culture.
Mm-hmm.
She has passed on personal information about people I work with to the extreme right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not okay. I'm not about to just, like, close my eyes and move on and say, we'll try again and I'll see if I can trust her again. I can't trust her again.
I wasn't saying could you trust her if there was some sort of fixing of that. I was saying, what about the rest of her besides that part of her spirit that did this information?
What about the rest of her? I'm not going to work with her, and I don't want to have anything to do with her.
Right, I get that. I get that it's a sort of a whole thing for you.
Well, I mean, how can I work with somebody who I absolutely cannot trust?
I guess I was asking you the question, or wish I had been, why is it that you can't trust her absolutely? I hear what you're saying, and I even sympathize that you can't trust her when it comes to giving out information like that to ideology that's like the opposite of yours or of the collectives.
Right, and I can't trust that she won't do that again.
Oh, I see.
And I believe that when she engages in actions like that, it places a real possibility of the risk of harm to myself and my friends and my loved ones, and I'm not willing to go down that road.
I see. So from that position, it's really hard to get at this thing on any other level besides how you feel about her and how maybe she feels about you for all I know.
Well,
working together doesn't have any place to even approach from to start anew.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that there isn't. But, you know, this may sound odd, but I'm usually pretty flexible about disagreement. But there are certain points where you cross my line, and I become pretty impossible.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely one of those points. This is something that I find, you know, not just kind of objectionable. This is awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those actions which I find inconceivable that somebody who thinks of themselves as a dedicated activist with, you know, a background of socialism or, you know, even communism in their family, and now they're giving information to these people knowingly. I can't accept that. I accept that it happened, but I can't, you know.
You can't be around that.
I can't be around that.
Yeah. Huh. So, you know, I've been to places like that, and I usually don't know they're coming until I feel violated. And I'm also not very good at forgiveness. But from where I hear you're coming from, that would be the starting place to resolve the situation. And I'm not necessarily saying you as an individual. I don't even know the dynamics. But
it sounds like you can't
get to the table of forgiveness, so to speak. Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know her. It's not like I used to be her friend.
Right,
so
I understand that.
It wouldn't even be like about trying to rebuild something.
Well, yeah, not for you. But you as part of the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective, have, in the sense of a mother nurturing her kid, a responsibility, a culpability even, to what the collective creates. Maybe that's not fair to define the collective as kind of like the dependent. I didn't mean it that way. But its life depends on each of you keeping it in mind and bearing it in mind at all times and doing what you understand is in its best interest when you're dealing with it. You know?
I believe that distancing the collective and the station
mm-hmm.
from her is in the best interest of the station and of the individuals who work on that station. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not seen anything to even begin to make me think otherwise.
Okay.
And I do that out of a love for the station and the people who work in it. And I believe that my position is based on that love and concern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to harm her, but I'm not going to expose myself and my friends and comrades to that kind of risk any more than I have to. And I don't think that's unreasonable.
It sounds reasonable. But then you're left with this. Let's say the immediate future for Free Radio Santa Cruz takes the shape of the kind of thing you just described, or at least I'm getting a picture from what you described. I hope other listeners can too. And that leaves Becky basically shunned entirely from the community that she's helped to create a climate for, so there could be a Free Radio Santa Cruz. Is there some way that you feel the collective, and I'm not saying that any part of this task would fall to you, has any responsibility in the shape of her feelings?
I'm not quite clear on what you're asking.
Sorry. Because we're getting into the realm where people don't usually go there, humans, in our
culture.
Well,
you're placing responsibility or something upon a collective as an entity. So I just want to be really clear as to what you're asking.
Yes. I think what I'm saying is, like when I've been in hierarchical organizations, there's always a whole section of their formal documents, usually their bylaws, that's how to deal with someone who has a grievance. And if you're a collective, things usually don't get that far, where you have to think, well, what are the steps to do this? And then they're usually spelled out. But the important thing about them isn't what they say, but the fact that each little progression, even when somebody's being fired from their only job, each little progression is taken sort of openly and separate from the next step. And then supposedly the organization and the person, or the subdivision of an organization, sometimes different things, the entities supposedly can separate peacefully. How would a collective go about something like that so there can at least be peace in the larger community? I'm hoping that airtime like this is part of the answer, but what do you have ideas about that?
Well, I mean, we have a basic consensus process by which to deal with these issues if they come up, that, that you know, members of the collective can bring up issues that they have. We've had that for...
Do you have any mechanism where, and I don't mean this instant case, where... people in the community that want to hear some kind of thing, say, on the radio, or who want something that's different, can interact or interface with this membership you speak of, with the collective?
They could send an email to the radio station. They could leave a message on the voicemail their concerns.
What I'm saying is when they make that contact with you and you see they're wanting or asking for something different than what the status quo is,
uh-huh.
Is there a way to get past their initial... In other words, do you have a different person every month or some other subsystem to deal with that incoming info?
That incoming info, if it's sort of a substantive question about what we have on the air or something else...
Or what they'd like to hear. You know, when I was there, it was a simple system. People taped up what they had on the walls like a big bulletin board, and each person was responsible for totally kind of scanning all of that in case it pertained to what they were doing. That's a very simple system. You don't even think it is one, but it can work.
Oh, okay.
So I think emails probably work even better when it's someone that's not in the collective.
Yeah, we've got an active email within the collective. There's voicemail that people can leave. I don't know quite what more...
I guess you're
envisioning.
You know, I'm going with you with this, and I'm glad Robert's letting you talk too. And I think if it comes to be that however you define membership continues to be how you define it, and it continues to insist that Becky's outside of whatever that container is, still there's a lot of valuable stuff in there. You know, not that you would want to deal with Matt. I can understand that. I've been violated in a lot of ways when I was young. And now and then I still have to go toe-to-toe with people that aren't paying attention. But what would be a way to bring grace to the situation so nobody feels dissed, if that were possible? And, of course, it might not be possible, but you don't know until you try it.
I don't know that that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a way to work this out where everybody's just happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I want to apologize to you and to Robert's show because I thought I had some general principles that would be worthy of sharing, and I really didn't mean to set up kind of a private dialogue, but if there is no mechanism for you to hear from people that feel aggrieved, whatever it's about, it's probably important that we talk it up among ourselves as much as we can air it and make real clear what is insiders only business and what is public relations.
People, I mean, again, people can send their concerns and messages to the station. They can give them on their voicemail. They can call on the radio. I'm not saying that some programmers will put them on the air, and even if they don't put them on the air, they will almost certainly listen to what they have to say. And those issues can be brought to a meeting, but mm-hmm. but the meetings themselves are not open and public. The meetings are for mm-hmm. members of the group.
And how long, I mean, has it been a couple years or the last 5 years or what? That the collective meetings are closed? I'm just asking out of curiosity.
I was not around for a while, so I wouldn't want to say exactly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it's been multiple years. That it's about members of, the station. I mean, the only time in recent memory that a meeting has been open to the public was right after the station was raided this last time.
Uh-huh.
And in that case, it was open for members of the public. And otherwise, it's by, invitation only.
Yeah.
Which is not to say that it's impossible to get an invitation. It's not, anybody can apply for a show.
Yeah, and you have a lot of friendly
people. People who have real concerns about what's on the air and want to hear something different, they can apply to do their own radio show in a very sort of direct action kind of way can make that difference.
Well, there's no reason to assume that everybody that listens to the radio is ready to share their voice.
That's fair.
I understand what you're saying as far as it goes.
That's fair. But we do at least,
Here's an example personally for me. I like the Eminem lyrics and music. I like hip-hop in general. And when I don't even know if this is true. It's because it came to me just through the grapevine. But when I heard that that guy's lyrics weren't going to be on the radio, I was really sad, And if I hadn't been too busy, I probably would have called and said, is there any time space where you can make an exception, like after 10 p.m. like Television Land does or something, but I couldn't get it together to call you. That's not untypical.
Maybe one of you can explain what Eminem lyrics is and how that relates here.
I'll talk about it in a second.
Yeah.
The artist takes the sharpest words he can find to talk about the most fucked up parts of our society. I get the picture of an urban social field. People killing their girlfriend and... I don't know. I can't think of a worse one than that. It's like reading Bukowski for the first time. But my point is, if we don't talk about that and that horror, I mean, this is just my personal belief, it keeps happening and it propagates. If we can talk about it, we can begin choosing the words. That's probably overly simple. But anyway, that's...
I guess like with issues like lyrics, like you're suggesting, like Free Radio has a very broad policy on lyrics. Mm-hmm. On the music and the substance we play, but for certain lines that we don't feel are acceptable to cross. We're not going to promote sexism mm-hmm. and racism and homophobia on our station because there's no shortage of that in the mainstream media. People can get that every mm-hmm. day on every channel. So we're not going to put that out. That doesn't mean that an artist who sometimes says objectionable things will never have any of their songs played. We have certain artists who some of their songs we play and some of them we don't. But that's very different.
But when it comes down to that, do you guys sit together in your regular meetings and make sure everybody's in the same boat about it? Or
on particular
songs? I mean,
if there's
any doubt? Yeah.
No, on music, it's more people are left generally to use their best judgment. But they're also... Everybody knows that if they violate that general agreement, there's a fair likelihood that somebody's listening is going to call up and say, hey, you know, I was really uncomfortable with that song you played. I really felt like the lyrics were abusive towards, you know, towards women or towards gays or something else. And and people know that that's a possibility. Doesn't mean they're going to get, you know, like, okay, well, you're off the air now. No, it's not like that.
But for the programmer, they have to think very carefully.
But as a programmer, they know that there's other people listening who have strong feelings and are willing to call people on stuff like that. And I think at its best, hopefully, maybe they put that other person on the air and they have a dialogue. And they discuss why that was sexist or homophobic. And hopefully we build a greater level of understanding within our own community.
I really agree with that, and I'm glad to hear it.
I'm not saying that it always happens that way.
Right.
That's an ideal, and I think we often don't reach our ideals, but that's at least, I hope what we strive for.
And if you reach your ideal, I would encourage you to make a bigger one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because we can. We humans are amazing.
You know, I think this is a really important discussion, and I've actually preempted the tape I was going to play so that you two could talk, and also anybody else who wants to talk on this issue could, because I think it has broader policy implications, and I think an understanding of the community as to what's going on is important. I don't mean to violate anybody's confidentiality. I appreciate your coming forward, Matt, to talk about these issues candidly.
And very articulately.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And I you know, feel like I've hogged up the phone for a while. Maybe I should let some other people get in on it. I'm betting that there's a couple other folks in the community who might want to get their word in edgewise.
Fair enough.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks.
Take care, both of you.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
I have to say that I only have a few more minutes, too, but I hope that doesn't stop anybody who's got an urge to call about this.
Yeah, the call-in number, if people want to call, is 427-3772. Okay. And you know, I appreciate the dialogue I've heard. I know that for me, unlike for everyone else, because I was the person that Matt spoke of quite respectfully, not revealing my identity, who felt that there was, at least for me, some ambiguity in the membership requirements, and that, you know, it required a clearer delineation of other people's memories who weren't at the meeting. It required any kind of written material that we might have on the subject. I wanted to have it sort of laid out more systematically and carefully. We have a caller. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert and Linda.
Yes, Robert and Linda. I'm actually Uncle Dennis's fan from Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
And I know he's not there, but I'm calling just to weigh in on the Becky Johnson issue.
Sure.
And I think it's down here we only think of issues on the basis of whether they make a good reality show or not. And this is excellent reality radio.
Well, it's not intended for that purpose. But I mean, can't
we idea.
just kind of glom onto the entertainment?
Thank you.
I'll just make one more alliteration and I'll go. And this is riveting radio drama, and Eminem is canned corporate rage.
Yeah, that's the downside, but I wasn't aware of it when I first overreacted.
Well, you see, you have the serious side, you have the downside, this is why life
thank
is
you.
Poetry. So, atutalu. good show. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Ellie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Drama.
That was inspiring. I'm partial to poets.
Well, I thought we were anything but entertaining, but, you know, I thought maybe educational. I'm glad to hear that some people regard this as entertaining as well. And it's real. and that's one of the reasons I felt it was important to bring it up, because while it is true that the Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective has made no decision, it's also true that the process by which Free Radio Santa Cruz Collective operates, which is by absolute consensus, so one person, in this case me, can block a decision, and I asked it to be blocked and delayed for 2 weeks until the next meeting on the membership issue, whether Becky is in fact a member of the collective. Because
doesn't that suck when it's just one person?
It certainly does.
I was on a jury once that happened to, and I almost hung the jury, and I did get a free dinner out of the deal.
Wow. But see, the point here is, though, that once the decision is made that Becky is not a member of the collective, one person can block her entrance. So it's exactly the reverse. So it becomes.
So Robert, you're saying they need to revisit what member means?
Well, I mean to say it is a very serious issue to decide that someone who, at least some of us regard as meeting the membership criteria, is not a member, because it's clear that there are people in the collective who feel so strongly about Becky for a number of reasons that they would never allow her, or at least I don't in the foreseeable future, wouldn't allow her in as a collective member. Here is.
Well, you know, what surprised me, Robert, is between Vinnie's short call and Matt's very, very supportive explications, longer talk, I don't. This is totally different than what I thought I was coming on your show for.
Okay. A caller, you can try again if you want. I appreciate your pausing in your call, but you can call back if you want to be on the air. So my concern here is that there really be a real careful division of issues. We had some heated conversations, and that happens. People have heated conversations, and because they feel strongly about issues, and people of principle can disagree, and people can disagree on facts. And so I think it's important that we try to be as dispassionate and as thorough as possible on this issue, and that really is my concern. And I also think it really is a matter of, it's not just a matter of, censorship, and in the sense that there's a prior history here. Becky has been banned. She's been banned from indie media, from posting herself on indie media. And the reason that Huff ruled, on this issue, weighed in on this issue, was because whatever Becky's views are on the Israeli-Palestinian issue, which I disagree with and you may disagree with, and some regard as hate speech and racist, and others don't. She has done, in my mind, extraordinary work on homeless issues, and to ban her entirely from the collective, from the indie media, is, to me, an unwise policy choice, and frankly, is also kind of unfair. Now, that's my personal opinion. I'm not a member of the Indie Media Collective, and as the resolution, the Huff resolution says, indie media sets its own standards, and I have. In spite of this, and I usually preface what I say about indie media often by saying the collective that ban the group that bans Becky Johnson, because I think it's an unwise decision, and I'm criticizing it. But I also have a lot of positive things to say about indie media. They've done wonderful work, just as Becky has done wonderful work. And frankly, just as Matt and you have both done great work keeping radio stations going, keeping the community involved in a number of issues. And what upsets me is I'm looking for a way to find some middle ground here. And obviously, it's been... Some people feel that, that perhaps there isn't a middle ground, but that's what I'm looking for.
Well, there's always a middle ground if you have an in and an out. And it's healthy to have a lot of rings, by the way, so people can come and go, like fish do. I was surprised that so much of the focus was on Becky herself. I understand from what Matt said, the concern about this alleged right-wing stuff. Now, that's a hard one, too. It's like having Congress taken over by a certain streak of fundamentalist Christians, You can't talk to people, so you assume that they're the opposite of what they say they are. Whatever they are, they're not Christian, not in the sense that word has any meaning in our society. And yet here they are rigging what little we have in Congress instead of representative government.
I mean, to me, the indie media people have pointed out that they are not a free speech libertarian collective, that they are concerned with representing underrepresented groups, that they want people who don't usually have a voice, who are oppressed groups, to have a real voice in what goes on, and more important, that stories not covered by the mainstream media, and I'm very sympathetic with this, particularly locally, get coverage. But I'm also sympathetic with this in terms of local stories that are, shall we say, critical, even of myself or people in indie media or, a position I agree with, like I believe that, the Israeli government is a major violator of human rights. I mean, it's not a very unusual position. A lot of international organizations agree with me on that, and probably most Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcasters. I suspect that in many respects Becky does not, and she's been very forthright and some might say very, very out there in that position. But the issue to me is if there's a local issue in which, for example, she's engaging in a demonstration and in favor of, in favor of, she had an editorial recently, I think, claiming that Scott Kennedy had inappropriately
misrepresented one of his guests.
Right,
was it
a Resource Center for Nonviolence Affair, possibly another?
Yeah, they were the lead sponsor in it. They do that every year. I went one year where they had.
And I don't know the content of it, you know, but I heard it at the time. But the issue is, if it's a local issue, I want to see people to be able to discuss it and debate it and post on it.
Well, indie media is a lot different than free radio.
Right.
As surprising that might be to people who haven't thought about it.
Hi, you're on free radio with Linda and Robert. Go ahead.
Hi, it's me again. I'm going to try to keep this brief since I already called in once.
Take your time, Benny.
It's fine if Becky goes out and does coverage of other events around the community, as far as I'm concerned. However, I think you're missing the big point. And what Matt very articulately and calmly laid out is that Becky attends these events often under the guise of being a left progressive, whatever she claims to be. And as has been documented with photographs and with her own words, she has collected information on individuals at many of these events put on by the Resource Center for Nonviolence and such. And frankly, you know, it worries me if people are going to associate with her thinking that she is this sort of left progressive activist as she purports to be, and yet she's gathering information about people, personal data, in an age where data is now bought and sold and turned over, you know, and it's kind of scary, frankly, to a lot of people. And I think that is the issue and why she is being ostracized and shunned. And I think that is the main point that you continually sort of glaze over, sort of polish right, and, you know, just, you know, sidestep. And frankly, you know, it seems a bit disingenuous hearing you say some of the stuff that you do, Robert, and that's how I feel. And it's all, you know, it's well and good to try to rally the community around your friend or whatever if you feel that she's being unjustly put aside, but she has actively engaged in this behavior for years, Robert. This is nothing new. The information that she turned over about one of our DJs at Free Radio Santa Cruz happened a long time ago. Happened almost 2 years ago, as far as I can remember. So, I mean, this has been, and this is an issue that goes back to pre-9/11.
Vinny, I think you're exaggerating her spy-like tendencies, as you described them.
My what? I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating her what?
You're characterizing that she's like a overt spy. And I'm just coming from knowing her personally.
Well,
but
those are your words.
Those are my words.
But
I was trying to recap
suspect,
the description
yes.
you made.
Her actions
about,
are suspect.
Yeah, but I don't think you should draw conclusions from people taking notes at a meeting. I remember when people did that to Robert about a year after I met him.
So you think that it's perfectly legitimate if, for example, a list of names...
No.
Of people signing up their names and addresses to a list to be sent a letter that she's copying down people's names and addresses?
I don't know enough to make a judgment call like that, but I would walk up to somebody that I didn't know.
Well, I know enough, and I can make that judgment on my own. And I'm saying it loud and clear that I would warn people that I know and love and care about to stay the hell away from Becky Johnson. And I'll end there. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling back in, Vinny. Robert's left the room. Here he is. I'm going to ask anyway. You know, just before Vinny called back,
I wanted Robert
to put you on the spot and ask, how is this like, talk about Becky or Vinny or whatever, how is that appropriate to your programming? I mean, it's comfortable, it makes sense, but I was wondering about your view on what Vinny had said in his first call.
Let's see. When occasionally asked to take a bathroom break, I admit it, the truth hurts here. I remember the recent point Vinny made, which was that he is concerned that the damage that has been done to at least one collective member by the passing on of information, as he puts it. And this is pretty public. It's been aired on indie media as a matter of concern. I think, frankly, and we're talking about, the specific gender of one of our broadcasters. And it was, in a way, it was public information that people knew. But in another way, to let this get to a, essentially, I think it happened through a conversation she had with a right-wing pro-Israeli government person who she frequently has on, or has had at least half a dozen times on her show, Lee Kaplan, which, I have no particular sympathy with. I don't know of much more information that has been passed on, and so while it may well be true, it is true that this is a matter of some gravity, particularly to the person whose name was passed on, and there was a flood of hostile calls to Free Radio and emails 2 years ago. My thought is, and my concern is, I think it's important to determine to specify exactly the magnitude of what this constitutes in terms of, does this constitute an objective likely danger in the future? How serious is it?
Sometimes you can't, Robert. You really
and
can't.
And sometimes you can't.
You can't,
yeah,
guess the future consequences of something, even when it's had little time to settle. You know.
And frankly, I mean, I got to be candid too. How much of the brouhaha comes out of hostility to Becky's views, and that is that's an issue which is even more sensitive, because I think people with the best of motives can conjoin and conflate these issues.
Well, people in a collective can do that together. We need to do it as a larger group, too, sometimes.
And hi there. You're on Free Radio with Robert and Linda. Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I agree with the caller from Los Angeles. This is a highly,
isn't it?
Highly entertaining conversation.
Amazing. We should probably sell it and bottle it, I guess. I don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that I think that that there's been some attempt to, I don't know, there's been a lot of downplaying of what Becky did.
Including the people that spoke to that on the radio now?
Yes.
Okay.
Like Robert saying that, the information that was passed on was a certain DJ's gender, and that was public information, and da-da-da-da. Well, I wouldn't say that was public information, for one thing, but even if it was, that is totally irrelevant. The way that Becky has tried to defend what she did is to simply say that she was correct. I was just correcting information that David Horowitz had on his blacklist on his website. That's not a quote from her. I'm saying that. I agree with Matt that's a blacklist. Now, she will say, "Oh, I was just correcting information." That doesn't matter. That doesn't make me any more comfortable with it. In fact, I would rather, if David Horowitz is going to have me or anybody else on his blacklist, that he have the incorrect information.
There's a lot
and
of legal support
for that. And if there's an activist in this community, quote, just correcting information for them,
point well
that's
taken.
That's still a big issue for me. And I don't think it's a defense, nor do I think it's petty.
Yes.
And I have a big problem with people trying to downplay that by saying either that it's public information, which it isn't. I don't think,
Yes.
I don't go around, broadcasting my gender to people. I mean.
And nor should anyone have to if they don't want to. Ever.
And the point isn't that. It isn't whether or not it was public information. It isn't whether, all I was doing was correcting information. The point is that you don't. I agree with the previous callers. This is totally antithetical to our movement, to what we're trying to accomplish, to be basically informing on other people that you're supposedly allies with. And even if it was decided that she is a collective member, which she is not. I agree with Matt. You can host the radio station, not be a collective member. We have people hosting it right now who are not. None of them are collective members. None of them are actively involved. None of them purport to be collective members. And that's been the case many times in the past.
Well, you have to admit that over the last 10 years, the line between the one and the other party has evolved and is much easier to see these days.
Okay, well, I'm simply making a statement of fact that Becky Johnson is not a member of our collective. If Robert wants to block at the next meeting and try to push the issue and try to insist that she is, we'll see what happens. But, you know, even if she had been a collective member, which the fact is she isn't, what she did was a violation of one of our basic policies at Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is not to turn over personal information about other DJs to anyone, not to the public, not out on the air, not certainly not to the likes of Lee Kaplan and David Horowitz. Lee Kaplan, a man who brags openly about turning information over to the U.S. government and the Israeli government for the express purpose of disrupting activist movements, a man who brags about infiltrating activist groups for the express purpose, again, of collecting information to turn it over to the U.S. and Israeli government to disrupt our ability to function. This is her colleague, quote-unquote, mm-hmm. someone she calls her colleague, a personal friend, okay? This man and David Horowitz, turning information over to them? That certainly violates that policy. There's no question. Not only is it, as was pointed out by previous callers, antithetical to the movement, to what we are trying to accomplish, and to basic activist culture, etc., it is a violation of Free Radio Santa Cruz policy. There has been people in the past who have lost their shows for revealing personal information either over the air or to other people who are not members of the collective. That is not okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, that should be a fundamental policy if it's not about information. You know, no matter what your relationship is to Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's a necessary precaution. I don't think Becky quite grokks that, frankly. I'm saying this as a friend because I've heard some of her feelings, although really don't have a background for this brewing conflict, if it is. But that's so fundamental. I think that a good thing you could get out of this whole schematic is to make some sort of public gathering where there's a talk about what is and isn't part of this movement, what that means. I think a lot of people would come, too, especially if we had sandwiches or Food Not Bombs hosting.
Well, you know, I'm going to hang up. I'm actually going to be covering Uncle Dennis's show in a short while here. And mm-hmm. I'm going to be on the air myself. I'm going to be playing music, but... You know,
oh,
I don't want to...
Music like Dennis does? I like it.
Well...
It dates me, but I like it.
I might do something a little bit different. Cool. But, you know, I want to say that I appreciate a lot of the work Becky's done, and I appreciate a lot of the things that she... You know, I appreciate her having, as you pointed out, Linda, you know, having housed the station and that kind of a thing. I certainly do appreciate... You know, by the way, I want to correct something you said earlier. You said there've been two FCC raids. There's only been one.
Oh. I must have forgot something important then.
I mean, there was visits and things like that, but there's only been one raid in the 10 years that we've been on the air. And she did come out. I believe she brought her video camera, and she was actively out there, you know, being a part of a demonstration against what was happening. And you know, I want to acknowledge and recognize that she has done some good things, and I'm not saying that I think in total, you know, her work is totally debunked because of this, but I will say that I think it was a major, major screw up. Maybe some people think it was deliberate. I don't personally. I think it was kind of somewhat careless.
Sounds like not quite enough information, except Vinny feels like he's had enough personal observation to make his own conclusion.
Some people think that she, you know, actively did this, you know, I mean, obviously she actively did it. She made a choice. She states that she made this decision. I personally don't think that her actions, that she, you know, really thought through what she was doing, and I don't think that she meant it. And I don't think that she's an agent, okay, and I guess is what I'm trying to say,
uh-huh.
All right?
Yeah.
And I think that she's done some really good work, and I think that she's been you know, I think she's done some important work, some important supportive things for free radio, and I want to acknowledge that, recognize that, but I yeah. also just don't, I feel like that, what Thank she you. Did, I don't, again, it was a major violation, not just of, you know, how we, you know, not just in within
not,
the
yeah.
movement or whatever, but within our collective. It was major. And I want to say my position is that I feel that she's, you know, that Robert's free to have whoever he wants produce his show. And if she wants to continue producing his show, that's fine. That's fine with me. I just want to say again that the fact is she's not a collective member. And her actions, even if she was, would most likely result in her being kicked out of the collective. So
yeah.
that's my two cents on the matter. Thanks for letting me talk.
Thanks for your
thanks call. For weighing in, George.
All right.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, Robert, I got to say something before I leave. I know Becky had no intention of any form of betrayal, and yet I know what it feels like to have someone do that kind of thing to me. And so, you know, it's still a thing that has to be resolved and dealt with as a group, you know, in some way, in some fashion, and in some point of time, the whole group, not just the work crew or the core or whoever you formally decide is free radio at that time. But I mean, I have to go, or I'm missing out on my granddaughter another month. But before I go, I wanted to say that I know Becky well enough to know that the description of behaviors that Vinny characterized are not for the purpose of doing that kind of thing in some general informed way. And that I know her personally, that she had no intent to betray anyone. But it is a violative behavior, and especially for, you know, this outside the radar of the law situation, it's really, really important.
Well, I think also people are wondering, you know, where's Becky in all this? And the answer is I'm going to invite her to come on the air and talk on Sunday about this issue, because obviously she needs a chance to be able to defend herself and to speak about these issues, and I want her to have that opportunity as well. There's only 10 minutes left in the show now. Mm. To me, it's a situation where activists, you know, are frankly at each other's throats, and we heard some moderate, and I appreciate it's not dispassionate, but it certainly is respectful tone that's happened on the air. I mean, I'm not a big one for respectful tones. Often I think there's too much, you know, ceremony and pomp and so forth. But I think when you have an issue where tempers are really heated and passions are really high, I'm glad to see that people are willing to try to articulate clearly and dispassionately what their concerns are. And I want to thank the people who called in for doing that. I mean, I have concerns which I kind of put very briefly and often pungently, and that may offend people at different times. And I don't do it to offend them. I do it because I'm trying to understand the issues, frankly. And also, when I see what looks to me like an injustice, and I can be wrong, I get concerned about it. It's no fun to find your name and picture or posted on a right wing website, and you know the question is though, and the next question, you know, a question that arises to me though, this happened several years ago, you know, then suddenly in this brouhaha with indie media, Becky's, you know, getting excluded from indie media essentially because they regard her postings as racist, hate speech, cumulative. They have different reasons, but they don't email back to her the specifics about what their concerns are on those posts. And that, to me, you know, repugnant as I find the discussion often from Becky's perspective, it still has me wondering what's really going on, and also concerned because as a homeless group, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom wants Becky and other activists to be able to have access to media. And to access,
and more than that, we don't like to see human beings being marginalized or totally ostracized from the fabric of society. It's hard enough being homeless without being treated like a subspecies. And when you've experienced that from either end of it, you become aware of it. You can see it in other dynamics where people are treated as less than whole people. because of whatever things. And most of it, I would guess more than 85% of it, is usually presuppositions and our own personal interpreting and not based on what's real. Most people, Robert, you're a great exception, don't even ask the questions when they see them. You know, they just guess.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. Go ahead. Hello? Hello? Can't hear you. Call back. See, maybe we can catch you again. So we had a caller there.
Do you have anything there on your pages in color thing? I've never seen that before.
Actually, yes, we do have an operational pages in color. And I've gotten a number of comments from Becky on these thoughts, and I'll read a few of them, but I really want to give her a chance to speak in her own voice in her own time. And so I haven't really gotten into that also because I want the other perspectives to be aired at this time first. But
I just want to say, before I leave, it's really hard to sort the parts, but it's usually worth it. It's worth the effort, ultimately.
Hi, you're on Free Radio. You're on Free Radio. Wait a minute. Go
Robert,
ahead. I'm sorry. Now I think I can hear you now. Can I hear you?
Is this Robert?
I'm sorry. I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay. This is John Tilkin from here.
Go ahead, John.
Hi, John.
I was listening to what Vinny said and what some other people said, and basically, I'm not sure a human rights organization is prepared to make a complete statement right now because, although we like to do innocent and guilty as a policy, the concern that Vinny raised about, you know, the actual, there may be an actual campaign targeting people at home at their home numbers, that changes the substance of the resolution if that were true. So I'm going to hold off on actually making a specific statement right now. But we are working on a resolution to address this issue. And basically, the wording of it basically is siding with Becky to some degree, saying that, you know, she was a helping with the station and so on, and shouldn't be. And also, she doesn't raise her own political views on the station's airtime, you know, with regards to Palestine, doesn't do that sort of thing. So it's, you know, it's that kind of resolution, basically.
You know, John, I actually have the rough draft, the resolution. I can read what your initial thoughts were, if you'd like.
Yeah, you can do that, but keep in mind that it's still open to discussion because
it's not
final, in my opinion.
Okay, I'll do that.
Okay.
Thanks. This is a resolution from the Human Rights Organization, a group, by the way, that meets every Saturday at 1:30, but not this Saturday. I think they're taking a break this Saturday. And they meet out at the Homeless Services Center. That's the place where some have called it the homeless ghetto, but apparently the people who run the homeless ghetto are now telling homeless people they can't be there between 10 and 2:30. Get your business done and get out, and please don't have your dog with you and don't tie it up outside.
We're going to have to push for San Francisco-like day centers.
Maybe we should just simply crowd into City Hall with the sleeping bags again. I don't know. The Human Rights Organization resolution against banning Becky Johnson, which may be revised now apparently, as John just said, it's come to our attention. Some people wish to keep Becky Johnson from having any access whatsoever to Free Radio Santa Cruz, similar to her being banned from posting to Santa Cruz Indie Media. Whereas Becky Johnson poses no physical threat to Free Radio Santa Cruz, whereas Becky Johnson has supported Free Radio Santa Cruz at significant risk to her own personal safety, for example, hosting the transmitter for a number of months despite a warning from the FCC, whereas Becky Johnson does not use Free Radio Santa Cruz facilities or airtime to promote her views on issues with where she has a significant disagreement with most Free Radio Santa Cruz broadcasters, i.e. no time has been devoted to broadcasting her views about Israel and Palestine. In light of all these facts, Human Rights Organization strongly recommends Becky Johnson not be barred from having access to Free Radio Santa Cruz facilities or airtime, and that, of course, is subject to modification.
So John's a member of the Human Rights Committee? Is it committee?
Yes, Human Rights Organization. There were... Becky's had a few questions which have come up in the course of the discussion, which I'm really going to give her time to outline these obviously in more detail on Sunday. She says I have a radio show. It's called Bathroom Spears Broadsides, though she's not on the air. I believe she's correct. She's been the producer of my show for 10 years, and sometimes she's been on the air taking care of it. Bathroom Spears Broadsides is current in its dues. She says this because one of the concerns, one of the criteria for membership in Free Radio is that you have a show on the air and that you be current in your dues. And also, of course, that you not be, slicing up members, engaging in hate speech, things of that sort. But these are key issues. She She noted there was an FCC visit in 1999 that she videotaped, as well as this most recent time when she came in 2004, and along with all, a bunch of us, and tried to defend the station from these marauding clowns with guns who took over the studio and the building and carted away all our stuff, and apparently have sold it by this time. She denies that there's been any passing on of home addresses and phone numbers, and she's anyway. There are factual disputes on these issues, which you know are very important to all people involved. And you might say, why the hell bring it up on the air? And the answer again is, the problem is that once this thing gets done at Free Radio, it gets done, and often the process is kind of a closed process at Indie Media. Becky tried to attend an Indie Media meeting, and they all walked out and wouldn't let her attend and involve themselves. And later they met secretly, and they banned her from Indie Media as a, you know, as a person trying to post. Now, admittedly, I want to say this on behalf of Indie Media, that I've posted on behalf of Becky, and they have not deleted my posts. So, you know, right on. But still, it's a bad precedent. I disagree with it. And I'm about to surrender to George, but here's somebody else on the phone, and the public must have its way. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Robert?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, your statements about Indie Media are untrue.
Okay.
And you were present, so you know that those are knowingly untrue.
Please correct my statements.
No meeting occurred. You said that we didn't let her at the meeting. The meeting just didn't happen. You were right there. It was all intercepted and happened on the street. And that interaction occurred for quite some time. Now, the fact that she...
I thought that two members of the collective walked out when she arrived. That's what I understood happened.
Walked out of where?
Where they were meeting at the Lula Carpenters. That was my understanding. I'm sorry if I'm wrong.
Well, okay. I mean, you and I were walking down the street along with another member of Indie Media.
I remember that conversation we had, and then they came up and But I certainly could be corrected. But my understanding was the meeting was essentially abandoned when Becky showed up trying to look for it.
Well, the
that's what Matt's saying.
Okay, perhaps you have a different.
I could be wrong.
Not how
I wasn't there.
Yeah. That's not how I experienced it. But I respect that difference of sort of perception.
Yeah, I'm not trying to lie to you.
It seemed a curious description of what happened.
Okay.
But understandably, I mean.
So there was a gathering of some sort, but it wasn't a meeting, but somehow it had to do with IMC?
There was a meeting that was going to happen. The meeting never occurred. Instead, there was an incident talking with Becky Johnson on Pacific Avenue. Now, Becky Johnson is not excluded from Indie Media meetings any more than anyone else is, which is to say that when we have an editorial meeting, everybody is excluded except the editorial group. Mm-hmm. So let's be clear on that. Let's not play up Becky as being particularly excluded from that. When we have an open public meeting, people are welcome to come to that. Now, as it turns out, I don't think Becky would actually be welcome to come to that meeting because after years of dealing with her issues regarding Israel and Palestine and having told her many, many, many times that her posts frequently and regularly violate our policies about racist and hate speech, she continued to violate that policy, and there came a point where it was determined that this was not going to get better. And instead, it reached such an extreme that it actually was just decided to not allow her to post anymore. That was not a decision made lightly. I'm sorry, I have another call. I can't refuse it. Thank you very much.
Hey, Matt, I'm sorry, and appreciate your calling in. And I hope we can, you know, pick up this conversation if people so wish on Sunday, and hopefully the Human Rights Organization's tape of Tony Madrigal and his fine lack of position on the sleeping ban will also get some play. Maybe Tony will come into the studio. I've invited him to come in. Who knows? Maybe he will face the Norse in his lair. I want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. I want to thank you, Linda Lamass. Do you have any final words before we cut you off and drive you out of the studio?
Yeah, I'm more inspired just from listening to callers in on your show, that people have the skill level and the self-worth to peel the parts of any kind of conflict like this apart and deal with it as healthily as they possibly can. So I'm happy because of the people that called. Thank you, Robert.
Hey, thanks again for being on this on the show, Linda. Thank you for listening in, folks, and being patient with us, those of you who found this whole thing rather arcane and sort of in-house. I think it's really important when we work these things out, and they take, it may take away some of the public time in a broader sense, but in another sense, I think it's really important to do it.
And public education is our job. Let's not let it get relegated away.
Dig it. See you then on Sunday at 9:30 if you want to show up or listen in, and we'll talk then. Until then, give a call to the Huff line, 423-HUFF, if you want to get in touch and report any untoward incidents on the street.
And it is time for From the Cream to the Dregs. I want to let you know that Uncle Dennis is not going to be in this evening. I believe he's at the Round River Rendezvous, and he will be back next Thursday. My name is George. I'm going to be covering his program this evening, and I hope you're not terribly disappointed. I'm not going to be sticking to Dennis's regular format, which is 60s music of the 60s and 70s. Can I turn this down, Robert? Sorry, it's just something feedback in here. I'm going to just be playing music that I enjoy, and hopefully you will as well. I'm going to start off with some Be Good Tanyas. If you want to call in, the number here is 427-3772, and please do call in any requests you may have. Thanks.
Save me, turn on my
3 a.m. all the morning birds will be crying, and that old highway will be sighing. In my dreams, feel as cold as my bones on a long walk home. And my coat is old and growing thin, and my feet are numb and stumbling, and as many the thought of a long lost friend. There comes to me again and again, and I wanna thank my Sarah Bell, who blessed me more than words can tell, and who picked me straight up out of hell. And I miss her real bad, but I love her well. And I remember Don Tanti as the wild young man, but I haven't seen him nor hear of him since he lost his mind and was born again. Off the coast of Oregon, oh, where are you now? Oh, where are you now? And do you ever think of me? I'm telling you now, you are the stars that I'll follow.
Thank you.